Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamplett and Michael Sidgwick, here to preview tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a money quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamplett and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight and all the fallout from the Great American Bash. But never mind all that, Michael Hamplett. Is tonight the night the NXT Championship changes hands? Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano, with the added wrinkle of the special guest referee being one Samoa Joe.
Oh, God, I hope it changes hands. I so hope it changes hands. It's not just because this episode looks like it's badly lacking something, anything really to talk about on tomorrow's review, especially after like a pretty cool Great American Bash, which had itself a pretty cool build. Like, I do worry significantly about the momentum that NXT was building, like running out tonight. So I think the title change would help continue that on and give us something to maybe look forward to in the weeks to come, because Karrion Kross's title reign feels like it represents like this last tired bit of the pandemic. And while there's been like a little bit of optimism brewing again around NXT, it's Karrion Kross's as champion that put a thumb on all of it. Like, the main event picture remains something I cannot get invested in with him at the helm. They don't seem to know how to book him. They don't seem to know how exactly to present him as a character. His work doesn't speak for itself. And they're not giving him promos with which to effectively speak for himself. Johnny Gargano is a literal opposite of all those things. He's far from a perfect solution, but I feel like he'll do for now.
This show and this match as well is a weird beneficiary of a suboptimal development. But this show itself, if I was to anticipate it or just describe it using one word, it's haunted. Haunted by Vince McMahon having total disregard for NXT's continuity by just promoting acts that are not ready to be promoted, at least in terms of the storylines, to his main shows. We're not getting Saray versus Toni Storm, which would have absolutely banged. We're instead getting Saray versus the renamed Priscilla Kelly, which we'll get to later. We're presumably not going to see a continuation. We might get a one-night blow-off of best, of Candice LeRae versus Knox. Tegan Knox, but it's just Knox now.
Hey, pal, is that battery charged? I'll have that toy back. No, it's
gone. Can I borrow your charger? So that's funny, or, you know, sad if you're invested in what NXT has been doing. But it also extends to this main event, which has this sort of meta-drama hovering above it rather than driving it, in that Karrion Kross, as we know, has been looked at on main event by Vince McMahon and various main roster management figures. So for that reason, and virtually that reason alone, plus the added Samoa Joe stuff, yes, if I'm being asked for a prediction, I will say yes, why the hell not? Why won't it change hands at this point? They've added the wrinkle of Samoa Joe to, quote-unquote, protect Karrion Kross. It's always felt like he's going to be main roster bound sooner rather than later, and it feels like soon is the word.
Yeah, do you think that the addition of Samoa Joe as the special guest referee is the tipping point in this match, Hamflet?
Possibly. It's strange, isn't it? Because the direction they've allowed us to all speculate on is Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole down the road. More so, I know there's been face-offs with Karrion Kross as well, and Joe kind of got involved, almost like babying Johnny Gargano. Not your night, kid. Ruffles the hair, tries him again next week, all that stuff. So he's involved because he's involved in everything. But Adam Cole felt like the tease. So this is quite weird. I don't know. I really don't know because I cannot figure out who either Karrion Kross or Johnny Gargano are. Like, is there a spot in this match where, like, for example, I expect Austin Theory to get involved and them to do a spot where Austin Theory is kind of barged into Joe. He's not going to punch him, but he's going to show the barging by accident. And that's going to be Joe's physical provocation to batter Austin Theory. Like, get him out of the way. He's not a factor. I fully expect that. But then do they do that, a similar type of thing with Karrion Kross or Johnny Gargano? Does Karrion Kross get frustrated when Gargano, for example, doesn't tap out and makes the ropes? And then when he's like protesting with Joe, does it get a bit shovey? And are you watching Joe's face? Shawn Michaels going to have a word in the back, says, really look at those hands of yours and question if they can do the right thing and punch another guy out. Like, are we going to get that tease for Kross or are we going to get it for Gargano? I honestly don't know. Joe's the only out and out babyface in this whole thing. So I cannot figure out which direction you point him towards. If it is indeed one of them, or if indeed he's a bit of a red herring and the Cole Joe stuff is the thing we should be paying attention to. I don't hate that. I don't hate that. I don't know. But I don't exactly think they've layered this with a ton of intrigue.
Mm. It's weird that, because I'm going to jump on that point. This Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano, a feud, a title match, it's not inherently dramatic in the good sense. But what NXT and Vince McMahon, without a care in the world, very passively in this situation, have contrived or stumbled into doing is they've put loads of bad drama together to the point where, well, it's dramatic and it's unpredictable. You've got the specter of the main roster. You've got this, well, who's going to play babyface? Even if situationally for just one night, what's Samoa Joe going to do? Is he going to call this match down the middle to no dramatic result? No, because the idiotic trope of a special guest referee, basically that's a synonym for incompetent amateur who will completely botch it. It's just the weirdest thing there. This is the weirdest NXT title match I can remember in forever. It might be the weirdest and strangest NXT title match ever. These set of circumstances sit so uneasily alongside other sets of circumstances that, like, fascinating. This is fascinating. And they've done half of it accidentally, but very fascinating nonetheless. I'll be on the hook, but not for the reasons they think I'm on the hook. And I don't even know the reasons they think I want to be on the hook. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are they thinking?
I can't call it, but not like, certain matches, you may look at them and say, well, you can see them going off. MSK versus, not Chris Jung Betts, versus Ciampa and Thatcher, for example. I went in going, I can't call that. Or like when Grizzled Young Vets faced Ciampa and Thatcher, you're like, well, you can see two different storylines going on. This one, I'm just like, who bloody knows? Maybe Candice gets involved with Scarlett as well? Or, I mean, all I really care about in this NXT Championship match, Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano, Michael Cedric, is, are Index going to be involved in this? Because that's where my heart really lies.
That's where my heart really lies as well. And incidentally, I do hope we see a continuation of that. If you had to say, right, gun to your head, what do you think is going to happen? I think this match, not only for it to be successful, but just for the potential post-Cross NXT landscape, Johnny Gargano is going to be told, right, you're going to have to wrestle one of the matches of your life here. Not only to get something out of Cross to the accepted NXT standard, but if you're in fact going to win the title, you're going to have to not do too much way bollocks and, like, just be Johnny Gargano, Johnny wrestling again overnight. Good luck, pal. I think there'll be some obvious Samoa Joe stuff that will inform the finish, but I think they will go hell for leather in baby facing Gargano throughout the match so that you're not left with this bizarre taste in your mouth. Look, it's weird, and it's so weird that you have to therefore say it's so dumb. All of this is so dumb. It's so backwards. Yeah, I just don't know what else to say about this. I'm trying to articulate just this detached perplexion I have at the entire state of it all.
There's not one scenario that you can lay out in full without there being like a massive caveat or a qualifier as to why that thing doesn't make sense. There's not one single vision of this match that is completely clear and is loyal to all of the story without betraying something else. So as you say, it's because it's been so hampered by other things happening currently to NXT and happening to this roster that if either of us, when you're asking the question, Wilbon, like, does Gargano come away with a belt? Like, you know, what's Samoa Joe going to do? If either of us try and lay out a fantasy booking or a single set of circumstances, the other one could just be like, well, yeah, but that can't happen because of this. And it's like, yeah, there is no one, like, however this plays out, there'll be some gaping plot hole or there'll be something like, this isn't one of those AEW things where it's like, oh, they showed us something that we couldn't have even imagined. This is like, they're going to have to make the best of a ludicrous situation. I think they could. I'm not saying this won't be like a fascinating experiment of a attempt at booking something, but I don't think there's any way they get through all of this without there being some just mile wide plot hole or some issue or some kind of the next day we're going to be like, well, it's a bit weird Gargano did that considering that last week it was 2-on-1 and they were trying to mug him off. You know, there's going to be some wild contradictions at play here just to get them to a finish. And Christ, there better be a finish. Like, for all of this, I will say, if they like put it on first and it goes to a DQ or something, like, it's an absolute chronic disaster. It's got to have a winner and a loser.
Like you say, I just had an idea of the way to do this, but didn't exactly babyface Johnny Gargano. Like, to babyface him, you can have him, like, I don't know, backflip out of a Saito suplex, or, you know, like when they had the epic match with Cole and Cole goes for the last shot and Gargano just ducks down and then snatches him up into a submission. My brain then went, what if, I don't know, Samoa Joe goes down and Karrion Kross can Saito suplex 10 ghost faces, but then Johnny Gargano wins. It's not exactly a babyface victory, is it?
Well, that's the thing. Either all of it's for nout and Karrion Kross simply wins. But if... if Kross gets screwed, we might get an indication that Samoa Joe is in fact cleared for activity. If Kross can get his quote-unquote heat back, how can you get that back, that which you never had? If he can get his heat back by beating up Samoa Joe, leaving him for dead, that's how he exits NXT, then he can maybe transition to a more explicit Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe build when Cole comes out to pick the bones of the guy you can never confront one-on-one and then start beating him up, and then that's part of your story. I don't know what the hell happens here. If that bloody bland bastard hadn't been on main event, this would, my podcasting career would be so much easier than it is in this moment.
And also, Hanfler, I love Samoa Joe's, and the idea of like, oh, thank goodness, Joe, you're finally cleared. Thank God we got all those concussion issues out of the way. So what we're going to have is you're going to get Saito suplexed on your head, and then he's going to hit you as hard as he can in the back of the neck. That should be all right, shouldn't it, Joe?
Love the irony of Samoa Joe being told sternly that, like, he was not to use his muscle buster because of obviously the terrible injury that happened to Tyson Kidd the first time he tried it. And I know he got given it for special occasions, but the idea that he was told in no certain circumstances, no, you can't do that. You absolutely can't do that. I'm back, guys. And then, yeah, just getting bounced on his head by Karrion Kross very, like, awkwardly. I like that idea of Cole coming out and picking his moment with Samoa Joe. I do, because I do feel like that was left to breathe for a reason. And just, it might not be for now, you know, it might, I always really liked that they, and they never paid this off, I guess, until, if you want to call now a payoff. I always liked that, like, repeatedly Samoa Joe found issue with William Regal and you always thought this is going to get physical and it just never did. Maybe they can go longer with Adam Cole and Samoa Joe, especially if it's going to take Joe longer to get cleared than we realize. Like, there's mileage in that, but I'd have no problem with them going to it straight away.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's get into that then, because obviously the residing image from last week was Adam Cole standing tall after that excellent main event at the Great American Bash. How does he follow it up tonight, Sig? Is it just a straightforward bloody told you so promo, because we know he's quite good at those sorts of things?
Third match is inevitable. It's 1-1. And I was about to say, before I stop myself, and Kyle O'Reilly seems like the guy. Does he? Like, is he seemingly the guy? It felt like a few months ago he was. They were going to do the tried and true NXT deal of beep, 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 redemption arc. You know, we've seen it with Sami Zayn. We've seen it in the past. Bailey, etc., but he isn't really getting over like Sami Zayn or Bailey did for me. But a third match that Kyle O'Reilly presumably wins in the end. Yes, I think Adam Cole, to do the heel thing, absolutely needs to, because this would be consistent with his excellent line about the only thing they need to do to make me appear special is ring the bell. Continue that theme. Make it abundantly clear that he won the professional wrestling match that counted. Do the whole 1-0 bit. I don't care if we saw it on AEW. That's what his character should do in this situation. It's 1-0. It's not 1-1. Then he can duck out the rubber match like a heel should do. Basically, if you are going to continue to present the nicest guy in pro wrestling as a heel, at least make him a good one. Like, at least make him one that you theoretically, I mean, I don't want to see Adam Cole get beat, but in theory, make him one that you want to see get beat. It's 1-0. I hear all this talk of a rubber match. I've been challenged to a rubber match. Why would I do that? I've won the match that counted. Blah, 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 blah. You can work out what happens down the road. But yeah, Adam Cole's great on the microphone and he needs to brag about how he's the better wrestler in this situation.
They love doing all that bollocks with Karrion Kross and the tarot cards. What about Adam Cole? Thinks he's all done and dusted and then he gets back and opens his bag and it's full of Uno cards. Flashback. Oh no, that's his weakness. You see,
God.
Oh God.
Yeah, they'll probably do that.
he's delighted with himself, by the way, on this audio medium. I'll fill in the blanks. Adam Wilborn is delighted with himself. He's enchanted with himself.
You could fold these two first things together, Cole and the title. Cole coming out, yeah, calling it 1-0. Very overtly saying, oh, I'm done with Kyle O'Reilly. Like, I don't know why that's even in the conversation. I'm finished. I won the match. First one ever happened, so I won the match. And then saying, and now I'm done with Kyle O'Reilly, I've got my eye on the title match tonight. Cross, Gargano, I don't care which one of you it is. Like, I'm getting it back, and I'll be waiting. And then that allows for, it keeps calling Samoa Joe's orbit. It's obviously all just, again, red herring stuff, because we know that the Kyle O'Reilly, the third match, or the big decider, or the match that they will hope will elevate Kyle O'Reilly once and for all, is sure to happen down the road. So yeah, like, I think that's more than enough material for Adam Cole to get through this week, at least. They don't need to, you know, they don't need to race towards that Kyle O'Reilly match just yet. Like, they could run an angle where O'Reilly has to earn it. That's not the worst. like use of some television time as well?
When you asked that question and I answered that question, I thought of another question. Why am I so bored by this? Why am I so bored by Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly going on? I shouldn't be.
Because the first match was so dull that it doomed the second one, even when the second one was good.
Yes.
And maybe Kyle O'Reilly ain't it. I don't know. Like, it's been a nagging feeling I've had for about 6 months, but maybe just Kyle O'Reilly ain't it.
Continue the conversation about the sort of fallout from the Great American Bash. Interesting to see what happens with Io Shirai and Zoe Stark going forward as the new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, because I sense that partnership is not that long for NXT, Hamflet.
It isn't, but it's maybe going to have to be, because Shotty Blackheart and Ember Moon were just broken up. Tegan Nox was going to be involved in something with Candice LeRae, but she's disappeared. So at this point, the only challengers are Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai, the existing world champion, herself in a storyline that, I guess as we're booking it, kind of mirrors what they might want to do with Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, a split within the team, or the former champions. So they might have to keep these belts warm a little bit while they figure out how exactly they're going to rebuild. I'm not in a huge rush for this breakup. I just like what they're doing. I really liked the women's tag title match last week. Really liked it. And the hot shot in these belts, which is not ideal for the belts, but a bit like when Candice LeRae had one, you put them on someone credible, they're going to sort of feel credible by default. And I think you're going to get that with Io Shirai. Like, Io Shirai feels like a big deal holding the tag belt. So she'll try as hard as she can to elevate it. It's a nice story. And there's nothing advertised for them tonight, is there? But that's not to say that you can't line up a couple of jobber matches. You show that chemistry developing. You show Io Shirai's respect for Zoe Stark growing. You show maybe Zoe Stark winning the odd match or making the odd save, which allows her confidence to grow, the chip on her shoulder to get a little bit bigger. It's nice episodic television in-match booking. So I'm not particularly racing towards that split, especially now. Sort of feels like a mini division they were trying to build has been gutted. So maybe like spend the time building up a couple of like one takeover quality challenger. And then you do these little, like, you drop these little TV hints in the meantime that eventually the split will come.
I mean, I haven't got a clue. One tag team's kaput. One peripheral figure around the tag team division is kaput. It's a good job that there's been a bit of ambition and crossover in this NXT women's division of late, because they haven't just killed one development dead by promoting various people to the main roster, because there's more than one development. So they've done the work and they are going to reap potentially diminished return rewards from said work in the form of Io Shirai and Zoe Stark versus Candice LeRae versus and Indy Hartwell ad infinitum.
Let's preview some of the matches we've got tonight. Sidge, you alluded to it earlier. Saray is going to be taking on Gigi Dolin, their former Priscilla Kelly. I love Saray anytime she steps between the ropes. She's just jaw-dropping.
Yes, indeed. And it's about time we saw more of her. It's a bit of a bizarre introduction because and again, you have to talk about it relative and in context. Any buzz surrounding Saray, as much as you can muster from this NXT brand, completely kaput. For weeks, people have just forgotten about her. No one's mapping any directions for her in the fantasy booking sphere. She just arrived, kicked ass, left, and took the left part very literally for about, what, 2 months has it been?
Feels a while.
It's just been like, so I don't know what the hell's happening there. Because she got over, well, to like fans on the message board scene, at least. Maybe they're just thinking, hang on, we're nowhere near ready to have Raquel Gonzalez drop the title, and she seems like a legit contender, so let's withhold from that Japanese, so we don't really book storylines for Japanese performers, which is a goddamn shame. So, yeah, this match will be good. It's about time we get to see her. Priscilla Kelly, in a weird development, was one of those wrestlers that like showed a little bit of promise before indie wrestling just died in the wake of the pandemic. And then she had like a cracker match on NWA TV, I think it was. No, it was against Thunder Rosa. So it was NWA, but it was definitely against Thunder Rosa. And it was like really good, really acclaimed. So she's clearly a worker, and they need to get more out of her, because if she can develop, she's got definite star quality. This should be a routine win for Saray, where she goes from there. How am I meant to, you know, ask that question when they've answered it with a, huh? I don't know.
Yeah, it's all very unfeeling at the moment for Saray. It wasn't much of a build, but it was enough. Saray and Toni Storm had been given enough. I quite like the idea that Toni Storm just felt that she was so above it. Problem is, like, Vince McMahon liked it so much, he made it so. She is literally above it, and she's gone. And it's not even like she's gone for matches particularly. Like, Toni Storm had a vignette, you know? So it's a shame that they haven't quite... This is a... Like, I know for a few years, the trick of NXT was to try and fool fans into thinking it wasn't part of WWE. But you don't need to play that trick anymore. This is the same fucking company. Like, just see through the smallest of television programs with Toni Storm, where Saray gets a big win, and then Toni Storm quietly departs for SmackDown. You know, they're only running coming soon stuff. It seems so needlessly disruptive and, well, like, laughably disorganized, but we kind of expect that. But so needless, this disruption. It's... We're reviewing this on the assumption that Toni Storm is done, aren't we? Like, is there a slim chance that the commentary make mention of it and they say something along the lines of, oh, well, we saw that she's headed to SmackDown. She really does believe her own hype. She really does think she's above Saray. Maybe that's me reaching, but maybe that's like the tease for the match itself. Not only does Toni Storm pie off Saray, she's pied off NXT. And like, Saray loads her back for that match and beat her and gets a big win. Like, that's not a bad story off the back of what they'd already built. I just, based on the other call-ups and how, like, instant everything's felt, I don't have a great deal of hope.
This is already the hardest show to preview.
Oh, it's just about to get good, though, because...
And it's getting harder? What? Well, no, it's going to get better?
Yeah, because there are many unanswered questions in wrestling. Who raised the briefcase? Who threw the pie at Kevin Owens? But a question that we've been asking for months, if not years, is about to be answered tonight, because we've been asking, where's Vink? Well, there he is. He's there in the NXT breakout tournament. He's just called Duke Bloody Hudson now, and he's going to be facing Ikemen Jiro. I've always butchered that name. Did I get it right?
You got it right, Ikemen Jiro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's Vink. There he is. He's just got a new name.
So look at the answer, Vink. It's my bait.
What a payoff, though. What a payoff.
What a payoff. He's former Raw superstar. Regular fixture is now in the NXT breakout tournament. How does that work? Honestly, man, it's wild. One of these days, when all of this is all over, because I don't need any kind of reminder, but one of these days, like, past it all, I'm going to go back and watch one of those early Raw Performance Center things. Yeah. Like, what is he doing here? What? They're just basically loads of stars pied it off. And this went, right, well, who's in the performance center? He's probably a little bit job scared. You. 10 minutes of the show right now. It's so wild that he's in the breakout tournament. Like, he's been there a long, long time. He's actually got a bit of a following in hardcore circles, Vinks. He's got a good patter. Have you seen any of his, like, Twitter stuff?
Mm.
Where he's, like, trying to get himself over. Like, he's good patter is Vink. Or Duke Hudson. Duke Bloody Hudson. That's cock. Yeah, I can't do accents. I just can't do it. I've got an Osprey. I've got a Will Osprey impression that is absolutely incredible, and I will be dropping that at the most opportune time I can.
Yeah.
Ikemen Jiro is going to win because they don't obviously see Brendan Vink as a breakout star. If he was, would have broke out like a long time ago. Ikemen Jiro to get the win, and match quality wise, I'm not sure, but it's all about character. I'm not saying he's and then the bell rang guy. Ikemen Jiro, but he's certainly a really charismatic, crowd-pleasing presence. And there's something of a crowd now, so it's probably the best time to launch him properly after a super bizarre 205 Live soft launch.
The smartest wrestler as well is this Duke Bloody Hudson, or Vink, or whatever you want to call him. Elliot Sexton, he's been known as before. Well, my name changes every bloody 5 minutes, so I'll just have my Twitter handle be how tall I am, 6'5".
That is good.
Amphlett, your reaction to this news, and of course, we should probably deal with it now before we do a separate entire get the table probably on it regarding Slapjack.
Jesus Christ. Look, a list went up just yesterday on whatculture.com/WWE. Check it out if you like, about 10 wrestlers that will leave WWE in 2022. I wrote that and I speculated not just that he will leave, but maybe he will be pushed. And I hope not, because I have a certain affection for Shane Thorne and indeed his team with Nick Miller and how they kind of fooled people into thinking the NXT tag division hadn't been quite as gutted as we first thought after that like golden era. So I want nothing but the best for Shane Thorne and Slapjack. The tears must have melted away that paper plate and we can finally see his face again. So yeah, that Slapjack, like I compared this in the article. So Chris Jericho referred to the We the People catchphrase over us out in the building, by the way. It's a stupid idea from bad creative. Slapjack like makes We the People look like the completed works of Bret Hart, honestly. Like a career killing name as part of a career killing gimmick with a career killing look.
Like, I've never seen a gimmick look like, you know, those memes where it's like the crying face behind the smile. Yeah. That was Slapjack.
Hang on, why are we talking about Slapjack? Is he on the show tonight?
No, he's just Slapjack isn't a thing anymore. Shane Thorne again. That was the big breaking news last night, I think, in wrestling world.
Shane Thorne on the show.
No, we just...
Are we talking about Shane Thorne?
We're dealing with Vink. We're dealing with Shane Thorne, okay?
Okay, okay.
Back to the
Is he Australian?
He is, yeah.
Oh, that's why. That's right, okay. What about Iconics? What are they up to?
We'll stick with those Performance Center Raws in a minute. We'll do Aleister Black and Apollo Crews on triple speed. I can't wait. The golden era. Yeah, I'm glad we talked about Slapjack because... I don't want to like sound like a stubborn and spoiled wrestling fan, but I'll care about the breakout tournament when it makes me. And like it's Vink versus Ikemen Jiro, who's wearing a jacket. So like, show me a match that puts over the idea and the ethos of this tournament without just sort of labeling it the breakout and expecting me to buy it as is.
Right. Final question, dealing again with the fallout from the Great American Bash and, a decent bit of patter that they could do tonight. It's probably the first night we're going to see what Cameron Grimes has to do as LA Knight's butler. I'm not doing the excitement because I'm dreading what he's going to be put through, because all I've seen on WWE.com exclusive is LA Knight talking about all the toilets he's going to clean, Michael Flett.
That's it, isn't it? Bog stuff. He's going to be cleaning toilets. He's going to be... I want to be higher on this for you, Wilborn. It's a bit like when they were in the middle of the Ted DiBiase stuff and he's like, what's he going to do with Ted DiBiase this week? And he's like, I'm not sure because I don't think they know. I think they've done the best ideas 2 weeks in. Peaks with Tiesto. There was no way back from that. Like the vignettes at that big old house that LA Knight was sat
pretend
in.
Pretend to live in.
Yeah, the one he pretends to live in. They probably filmed at the same time because they could only rent it for a day. NXT's budget's been slashed by Nick Khan. He's like, who's this? Is your son-in-law? No, he's not worth it. Cut it. like cleaning the bogs. He's going to... What's them... I always forget the name of these. Sidgwick, you'll know. What's them things called where you bring out food in the metal dome plate gimmick?
I don't know.
I was going to say galosh.
Like a tray, which, yeah,
that deal. I think we're going to get like weeks of that. And then, like, eventually, instead of food, it's going to be the $1 million belt, and Cameron Grimes is going to wallop him with it or something like that. Like, we'll get to a point where enough will be enough. These butler stuff, are, like, rarely does this go well in wrestling. So, like, they're kind of working against precedent here for these to be entertaining. It all gets very cliched very quickly. So they'll do well to get these over.
A prediction and then a take. Prediction first. If you're Cameron Grimes, like, maybe don't sell the fact that you're distraught at being the butler. And I know that goes against the whole thing. You're meant to look at this sap and think, oh, I feel sorry for you. Be an ass kicker. There's a disconnect there for me because that doesn't work. Maybe Cameron Grimes, being Cameron Grimes, can just own it. Like a montage where he's like trying on different butler outfits and stuff like that. And like, LA Knight can get...
LA Knight doesn't like the first two, but he nods at the third one. It's like comes out, pulls the curtain back. They kind of bond a bit together.
Maybe. LA Knight gets progressively pissed off at the idea that Cameron Grimes is absolutely no selling this ridiculous stipulation, and that they have a fight in the house, and that's how it all ends. Here's a take. I realized that I like Cameron Grimes one day of the week, right? Generally, I really like him on a Tuesday. I like it when he does his ridiculously eager to please patter, when he has his conniption fits, when he just doesn't know how to be rich and he's choked on a cigar. He's a good physical comedian, knows his character inside out. I really like Cameron Grimes on a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And then I watch AEW Dynamite. And then I see John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Hangman Page, Darby Allin. I just think, you're actually a rubbish babyface. Or at least you're portraying a rubbish WWE babyface archetype and you're doing your level best with the material. I grew to just resent what they're doing with Cameron Grimes literally every Wednesday and Thursday. And this feeling has gnawed at me for some time now that I can feel it all week, essentially. I don't know what they do. It's a mildly amusing, in its own context, comedic skit. But man, this is doing nothing for numbers. It's doing nothing for Cameron Grimes' career. Like, I like LA Knight. I kind of like this bit, but my God, it's so inessential.
Yeah, cheers to us. So, yeah.
Every time.
I like the idea that, yeah, he's got his butler, but he's still got loads of bloody money. So LA Knight walks in and goes, have you cleaned the floors? And he goes, yeah. And just like a Roomba going around cleaning it all for him.
Wiping it with $100 bills.
Yeah. But my final prediction as we conclude the podcast today is, yeah, he's just going to be doing all the menial tasks. He's going to be washing the bog or doing the laundry. But my favourite one is he's going to walk into the kitchen. There's pots and pans everywhere and he's got to do the washing up. That's right. He's got to clean the spoons. Right, let's know your thoughts.
I'm going to log off.
I needed the longest, loudest swear on this podcast there because I could.
I was absolutely going to drop a C bomb. You.
Let's know your thoughts. That one. WWE, what's he going to do? You can follow three. What's he going to do? Michael Hamlet.
Michael Hamlet.
Michael Sidgwick.
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me for more of that sort of thing. Adam will follow us all. At What Culture WWE, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. The Daily Wrestling Podcast, our Raw review is available right now. And our review of this show will be available, of course, tomorrow. But now this has been the NXT preview. Thanks to the Dudley Boys. They've never looked more disappointing in their life. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
He's absolutely gone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.